Well, this message may be a little different than most messages. I am speaking this directly from the heart, what God has been speaking to me in this last season. Y'all know this season has been crazy. Nobody anticipated 2020 would be full of medical issues, social issues, a race issue, craziness all over social media. And in all of this, I know what God's been speaking to me and what I believe is for our church, but also for the church. And that it is a time, honestly, of sifting, and it's a time for all of us to really recognize we are called to walk closely with God. What does that look like? What is the culture of His kingdom? Because that's what I want to speak about today. What is the kingdom of God's culture? You know, when Jesus was talking about prayer, this is what He says in Matthew chapter 6. I'm just jumping right in. I'm just going to share from my heart. This is like burned inside of me. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, He says this. He says, you know this prayer. Our Father who's in heaven, may, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, though I memorized it, honestly, out of King James Version. May your name be kept holy. And He says this, may your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is how Jesus says we should pray. Our Father, you're in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, like the kingdom of God come. Your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. So we should have this idealistic prayer that everything that's happening in heaven should happen right here on earth. That's big. That's a big call because we all know that our world does not look like heaven. No, it doesn't. But this should be our prayer. This is the call that Jesus makes to us. And He says that we should pray that the kingdom of God comes on earth like it is in heaven. Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And so I wrote down just a few things that He said about them. He says this, He says, and this is repeated over and over in the Gospels. He says, the kingdom of heaven is near. Then He says, the kingdom of heaven is within you or in your midst. And He says, the kingdom of heaven comes with power and that we're called to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Man, I've been just so reading the Gospels and reading, you know, Jesus's words and recognizing how foundational they are and how we see that Jesus said the Father and I are one. And so when we look at the Old Testament, so many people pit the Old Testament against the New Testament, but I've heard it put this way, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And we see this concept of the kingdom of God throughout both, but Jesus speaks about it. He says, it's like a mustard seed. It's this really small thing, but it grows into something really big if we catch this. He says it's like yeast. It takes just a little bit and when you're baking bread, and it can change everything. He says it's like a treasure found in a field. That this man found a treasure, was digging in a random field and found this unbelievable treasure, but he was a righteous man. So he covered it back up, found out who owned the field, and sold everything he had to go buy that field because he knew the value that was in it. That's what the kingdom of God's like. Y'all follow me? Jesus says that He gives us the keys to the kingdom of heaven and that we should seek, Matthew 6, we should seek first the kingdom of God. But we have to be like little children to enter it. And what does that mean? It means it's simple. Let me just talk to you just a moment about the verses God's been speaking to me. And I know I've been sharing this live. I don't know if I've been sharing it on the online services. And hopefully next week, you'll be able to watch this live or a live service next week. But this is what God's been sharing with me. He's speaking very clearly. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Where Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. The kingdom of God. We have to be like little children to enter it. What does that mean? Little kids trust. They don't think that though they're highly intelligent and they're like sponges and their minds are more brilliant than ever, that they just trust. And that's what we're called to do, to trust the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. The second thing that God's been speaking to me is out of the book of Revelation in chapter 2, where he speaks of the church at Ephesus. I'm just going to go ahead and turn there. I think I actually did share this, but I'm going to turn there anyway because y'all are a captive audience right now. You can click off. That's all right. I'll still love you. But this is, I believe, just a rebuke for the church in America, certainly. And I'll be honest, I think this is for us as our church as well. He says, I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they're apostles but are not. You've discovered they're liars. You've patiently suffered for me without quitting. Then he says this, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. The simplicity, this is the rebuke of Jesus about the kingdom of God that we're supposed to represent as the church of God. He says, look how far you've fallen because you don't love me like you used to and you don't love each other. That's huge. You know how simple that is? To love God with all of your heart. This is Matthew 22, the great commandment that Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, look how far you've fallen because you don't do those two things to the church at Ephesus. And then he says this, he says, turn back to me. And some versions say repent. That means turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I'll come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. We're called to be the light and to love God with all of our heart. And I want us to understand what the kingdom of God looks like when Jesus says it's near. Is within you. You got to be like a child to enter it. What does that practically look like? In Romans 14, 17, this is what we see Paul writing. He says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? I've had the privilege of traveling all over the world, lots of different cultures, and I found this to be true. And with other seasoned travelers, you hear this all the time. It says the best way to experience a culture is by eating your way through a country. Because when you have meals with people, it's more than just the food. It's more than just the eating and drinking. It's the experience of what happens because so many cultures are focused around food and drink. And I get that, but I want you to get something. Cultures that you read about, cultures that you see when you watch a TV, it's one thing. But when you go there, you get to experience a culture, and the best way to experience it is by eating and drinking your way through the culture. What's the application for us? I'm concerned that many people know Christians. They say they follow Jesus. They know about the kingdom of God. They've read about it. They've watched the videos. But I'm wondering, are we really experiencing it? What are you consuming? What are you eating spiritually? What are you drinking spiritually? I mean, there is a simplicity to following Jesus. It's not hard, like it's not complex, but it's so hard because the world is constantly throwing content at us. And the reason that the church so often is hard to distinguish from the world around it is because we eat in all the same stuff, but we're called to live not by bread alone, Jesus said, but by what? He quotes Deuteronomy 6, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you want to experience the kingdom of God, You got to consume what God's speaking to us. So I'm going to tell you what God's speaking to me. And I'm going to tell you what direction I know he's calling us to go. You know, when we started the church, the verse that the Lord gave me, well, he gave first my wife the verse that says, if you will just believe, you will see the glory of God. And I want to see God made big in our church. I want to see God made big in my life. How do we do that? Well, the verse that God gave me in planning the church was Isaiah 58:12. It says this, those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. They'll raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called a repairer of the breach, a restorer of the streets in which to dwell. That was the foundational verse. And if you go back and you read Isaiah 58, it's really a rebuke of God's people. He says, you think you're fasting, but like you're fasting for yourself. And then he goes through what it looks like to truly follow him. And the culmination of all of those things, you should read Isaiah 58 because of time's sake, I'm not doing it right now. You should read it. But because of all, it culminates in Isaiah 58, 12. With both a call to action and a promise that if we walk in the kingdom of God, that if we live by his word, this is what we'll receive, that those from among us are going to do some amazing things. But it's a call to action. It's a promise and a call to action. So what is it? Like, what's the foundation of God's kingdom? You know, Romans 14, 17 says that it's righteousness and joy and peace. Righteousness, actually, it says, what is it? But the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Are you living righteous? There's a call in our life to walk away from sin. Am I living righteous? I can't do that in my strength. We all sin when we give in to ourselves. But the righteousness of God that comes through Jesus, that's why we're called. We're not called to live for Jesus. We're called to live in him so that his righteousness becomes ours. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? That means I have to lay down my dead, like myself, that flesh that wants to do it my way. Lay it down, let it be crucified, and live in him, not just for him. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, being led by his Spirit. When we do that, this is the promise and the reminder of call to action for us and the call for our church. Here's what we are called to. Here's how we are called to live. It's Isaiah 58, 12. The first thing he says, those from among you. What does that mean? That means that all of us, if you think that a church is what it is because of a pastor or a worship leader or, a small group leader, that's such a small part, because the reality is all of us working together, living out the kingdom of God in our lives makes huge impact in the world around us, because it says those among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. What does that mean? And there was a practical aspect of what Isaiah was writing in this prophecy. In other words, there was a physical aspect of it. And for us, there is too, because we're called to really make a difference in our community. But it begins with the spiritual one. Just because, remember, Ephesians chapter 6, we talked about it last week, that it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers in the unseen, the spiritual realm. So there's a spiritual component to Isaiah 58, 12. That's what I'm going to talk about today. But God's been downloading to me not just the spiritual component, but like really what practically that looks like for our church. I'm so excited to share that, because I feel like there's just a renewed vision, almost like a reset in what he's calling us to be first spiritually, and then the practical outplaying with our hands of what that looks like. And here's the first one: rebuild the ancient ruins. And people's lives have been broken down by a broken world, and sin reigns supreme in this world. All we have to do is look around. We know that. And if we're not careful, we'll have had a little bit of righteousness. We'll have an encounter with Jesus. Like we see him on the cross, and when the light bulb's gone off, it should have been us. We surrender our life to him. But then with some time, the devil's really smart. He makes us, because God's done a work in us, it's a process to become more like him. And then here's how the sneaky devil works. You become more like him, and so you're not doing all those old things. And then you go, huh, I can't believe so-and-so, forgetting that we were once there. We all have areas of brokenness that Jesus wants to rebuild. Maybe he's rebuilt some things in you. Well, here's the tactic of the enemy then, to make you feel all proud about what your life is like and make you think that you had something to do with it. Yeah, you did. It was, oh God, I messed up. Forgive me, cleanse me, make me like you. That was your part. And Jesus does the rest. But we are called. He'll use him, and Jesus does it, and he uses people. So we're called to rebuild the ancient ruins. First in our life, what is this? What is the ancient ruins? It's the broken areas of people. It's the hurt. It's the rejection. It's the people that are still as a grown adult. I mean, I deal with grown men that are still broken over what happened to them as a kid, whether it was abuse, whether it was divorce, whether it was rejection. Grown men, I'm talking like 40s, 50s, some of them in their 60s. Still dealing with that stuff, because the enemy uses brokenness to make people believe that that's who they are. But we're called to walk in righteousness. because of Jesus, not us. Peace, because we know that he's at work. And joy in his spirit, because he's brought in. Here's the word I want you to get. You ready? Healing. Healing. We're called to what? To walk healed and whole. This is what we're called to walk, healed and whole. I have to allow the leading of the Holy Spirit to speak to me about who I am and whose I am. Rebuilding, that's what we're called to, rebuild the ancient ruins. Here's the second thing. It says, you'll raise up the age-old foundation. The foundations of God's kingdom. If you try to lay the foundation of God's kingdom, like you try and take this and build it on the foundation of what this world says is true, you're going to really miss it, because the foundation, here it is. You ready? Here's what foundation is. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. We're going to see people healed of the broken areas, broken down areas in their life. And that begins with us. It's a mandate and a promise for us that we don't have to walk in that. The second thing, raise up age-old foundations. The foundation is truth, the truth of who we are, whose we are, the truth of God's promises for us. And when you try and take the truth of God and put it on top of a foundation that what this world says is important, and remember, like, truth is what you actually believe, but it's seen by how people live. Can I tell you what's been so eye-opening for me is so many people, though they may know the Bible, some really well, some nominally, their foundation rests on something outside of this, because the world around them is the real world to them. And I recognize that we have a physical reality. That's not what I'm talking about. But they can't seem to see the spiritual battle that rages. And their foundation is more on the truth that there's going to be a political or social solution, and salvation comes through politics or a social agenda or a person or a mindset. Can I tell you, we need to have the mind of Jesus, who, although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. That's Hebrews 5:8. Listen to me. We're called to walk in truth. Jesus says in John 8, he says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is the raising up the age-old foundation? It's the spiritual truth of who we are, and that we're called to walk in the fullness of God. What's that practically look like? Here is spiritual growth, because here, that's the word. It's truth, but it's spiritual growth. And why is truth such a big word in raising up age-old foundations? Here's why. Because spiritual growth is nothing more than replacing lies with the truth. That's it, is replacing lies with the truth. I've been really convicted. How much time am I spending in reading this truth versus what is purported to be truth on a news app or a news website or a paper? Which truth am I surrendering and submitting myself to? What are we called to? Raise up the age-old foundations. Rebuild the ancient ruins. Here's the third thing it says. Repair the breach. In Hebrew, the word like breach is really like, it's like a dike. And it's the picture of the kid with the finger in the dike, like holding back the water. And here's what that is for us. Like, we're called to see people healed and whole and repairing the ancient ruins. We're called to see people grow spiritually, because we're raising up that foundation of truth, spiritual truth in people's lives. But repair the breach. Like, who's slipping through the cracks? Because we are called, I want you to understand that everybody is called to people, to people. Man, I remember when God spoke to me about the call to people. Like, I was a kids pastor, but I was asked by my pastor to do a 6 a.m. Bible study. This is when I was living in the Lafayette area, to do a 6 a.m. Bible study in St. Martinville, Louisiana, which is like Cajun Central. That's where the Cajuns got off the boat on the Teche River, right there in St. Martinville. I'm going to do a 6 a.m. Bible study. And I'd been doing it for a while, and there's like four or five guys that would show up. That's really early in the morning. It was a long drive for me. And I'm complaining to God. I'm like, God, why'd I got to do this? Like, super early. It's a bunch of old men. I don't even want to do this anymore. Like, they're not getting anything. I'm learning from them. Like, why do I have to do this? The whisper and the rebuke of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I've called you to people. We are called to people. And people put on a good front. I know because I have. You know because you have. But we are called where people are falling through the cracks, where the enemy's cracking that truth in our lives. We're called to repair that. How do we do that? Ephesians 4:15, we speak the truth and love this truth to people. And here's the last thing. We want to see the kingdom of God come. We got to realize we have to embrace his healing. I'm excited about next week on what I'm sharing. Just it's what you see, what you hear. What is the kingdom of God around it? What is, man, that there's a rebuilding, there's a healing that takes place, that we're called to the foundation of truth, of knowing the truth, and then speaking that to people. But remember, there's such a practical, physical outplay of all of this as well. And I'll talk about that in the future, what we're called to physically with rebuilding ancient ruins, what that means, raising up foundations, what that looks like, repairing the breach, what that looks like. And then here's the last thing. It says, the restorer of streets in which to dwell. Man, the practical outplaying is pretty obvious in this one. But what does that mean for us spiritually? Like, what is the call in Isaiah 58:12 for us? If, listen, we're gonna rebuild the ancient ruins, that we're gonna allow God to heal us so that we're whole, that we're gonna raise up the foundations of truth in our life. We're gonna live by truth in God's word. That we're gonna repair the breach. We're gonna be aware of the cracks in our lives and help people fix them in theirs as we allow God's spirit and people around us to speak truth, to bring wholeness to us. But that restorer of the streets, if you break down the Hebrew, and I was looking at a Jewish Hebrew commentary out of Isaiah 58, and this is the translation. You can look at it. I looked at it on multiple translations from the Hebrew into English. It says, restorer of the streets. That's not a bad translation, but I think this might be a little better. It says, restorer of the paths for habitation. We are called to help people live at the place that God has for them. Now, this is a really old, we're like ancient commentary. And this is what this ancient commentary says we're called to, in restoring the streets in which to dwell, restoring the paths for habitation. I'm just going to read it. It's out of the Steinsalt commentary. It says, you'll reinstate the desolate paths, and instead of crying and sitting idle, you should arise and act. Go to James. If we have faith, we're going to do some things. Remove the harmful stones. Repair the injustices. Rebuild the destroyed fences and other structures. And then it says this. It says, this statement is both a demand of the people and a promise. What's the demand? That we're called to rebuild? We're called to rebuild the broken places in people's lives. We're called to raise up a foundation of truth. I mean, this is building people, like the brokenness, the broken sea healed. That we're called to build people on truth, raise up those foundations of truth, knowing who I am and what he's called me to. Let me tell you, I feel like there's a fire up underneath me and that God's called us to build people, to know that truth. Repair the breach. God's called us to reach people with hope and life and restore the streets. Let people know God has a place for them. Psalm 68:6 says this, God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. And then he says this, it's convicting. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. And what's so sad is I've seen a lot of people who say they walk daily with Jesus. They live in a really parched place. And here's the thing. We're going to walk through a broken world where there's ruins everywhere, where the foundations are cracked, where the walls are cracking, there's a breach in the levee, where the streets are torn up. But we can walk in hope because we, like Jesus said, recognize that his kingdom is near. within. That it may look small what we do. Jesus said, if you give a glass of water to somebody in need, it's like you've done it to me. Your smallest actions done by the leading of God's Spirit, like Romans 14, 17, like because you've experienced his righteousness, his peace, and his joy, and now you're walking by his Spirit. And when you live in a broken world, guess what? It's a broken world, but we don't have to live that way, and God will use us to bring the light into the darkness. It's Romans 5, 14, where it says, we are the light of the world. I'm the light of the world when I'm walking with Jesus. Where it says in Matthew 5, 16, it says, people will see what you're doing, and they're going to glorify God. And this is what we're called to be like Jesus. Not live for him, live in him, so that when we do something, people see him and not us. This is our call. And this is like the first drop of what God's been speaking to me. And listen to me, it's a good thing because he's calling us to some cool stuff that I know, listen to me carefully, I know what he's called us to. He's called us to reach out to the lost, the lonely, the left out. There's a mandate on us to see the strongholds in our community, the strongholds of pride. Whew, I better pray about that one because that's real for everybody. Poverty. Like even people who have $1 million in their bank account can be poor because it's a spiritual thing. He's called us to see those strongholds of pride, of poverty, of prejudice, that we have opinions about things, that we don't like things. We don't like people because of X, Y, and Z, but God's called us to break that down. Why? So that his kingdom, his culture can be established first in our heart, then in our church, then in our community. And it begins with us being like Jesus. Never seen a bigger call for us to be like Jesus. And if you don't know him, there's a link on this. You can click, I want you to know, not just about him, but to know him. I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna be done. Father, I just pray that we all have a fresh revelation of you. That Jesus, that we see you as you truly are. Not because we've seen a portrait of you, that a long-haired, kind of sissy-looking guy sometimes. But Father, we see you, that Jesus, we see you for who you are. There's a revelation that we have, and that we see your kingdom come, and your will be done first in our heart and our personal life. That Jesus, your light shines in every dark area of our heart. And then Lord, you use us to be a light in the darkness in our community around us. Help us. We need you, Jesus. We surrender to you. In your name, amen. Love you guys. God bless. You need prayer? God's dealing with you? Click on the link. Let us know. Love you. Bye.